Are you confident you'll be able to retire comfortably someday? Are you taking steps to make that happen? Hi, I'm Rob West. Inadequate savings, faulty assumptions, and high inflation could create barriers to a comfortable retirement. Can we learn anything from today's retirees? Matt Bell thinks we can, and he joins us to talk about it. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, it's always a treat to have Matt Bell on the program. Matt's the managing editor at Sound Mind Investing and underwriter of this program. And Matt, great to have you back.
Rob, it's always great to be with you.
Matt, the Employee Benefit Research Institute does the Retirement Confidence Survey every year. And I'd love for you to share with us what the latest data shows about how people are feeling about their retirement prospects.
Sure. Yeah, fairly high levels of confidence is kind of the bottom line. In the latest report, nearly 70% of people in the workforce today, and a little bit higher numbers of those who are now retired, say they feel at least somewhat confident they'll have enough money to live comfortably throughout their retirement. Now, not surprisingly, Rob, one of the top retirement-related concerns to come out of that survey among both groups centers on inflation. Today's workers say higher prices are simply making it tougher to save for their later years. And another concern from both groups is the possibility that the government may make changes to the American retirement system.
Interesting. Well, I don't think it's a bad thing to be concerned about those things because it inspires folks to prepare for whatever might happen in retirement, although I don't think it will be easy for lawmakers to make wholesale changes to retirement laws and regulations. Nevertheless, what lessons can workers learn from this survey?
What stands out to me, Rob, are several areas of disconnect, either between worker optimism and their actual preparedness, or between worker expectations and the actual experiences of today's retirees. So, for example, while high numbers of people in the workforce are confident about how well their finances will hold up in retirement, a large number of today's oldest workers, 43% of those age 55 or older, have less than $100,000 saved for retirement.
Yeah, that sounds low, and yet that's something many people could probably do something about.
Yeah, that's right, Rob. I mean, while we can't control how the stock market performs, a lot of us do have some control over how much we're setting aside for retirement. Another area of disconnect, Rob, has to do with the fact that a lot of today's workers say they intend to work past the traditional retirement age of 65, and yet just 19% of today's retirees actually retired that late. So I think it's important for all of us who are working today to see that many of today's retirees stepped out of the workforce earlier than they had intended to. And while some did so simply because they could afford to, most in that situation had to retire because of health issues or changes at their workplace. And one related note, Rob, large numbers of today's workers, 75% in fact, are counting on being able to work for pay to some degree in retirement, whereas only 30% of today's retirees actually have.
Interesting. Now, Matt, you mentioned about the actual date they plan to retire. I know one of the disconnects in marriage is often spouses don't know when their other spouse plans to retire. We've actually seen some studies on this, haven't we?
Yeah, that's right. And that's kind of surprising. I mean, it really shows the lack of communication about really, I think, a lot of financial topics. But it's interesting and it's noteworthy that, like you said, high numbers of married couples report that they're not sure when their spouse intends to retire. So Can you imagine seeing your spouse head out the door in the morning someday with the golf clubs instead of the briefcase? And that's your first hint that they've retired?
Yeah, definitely a breakdown in communication there. So make this one of the notes along the way here from today's broadcast that you need to have that conversation if you haven't already. Now, Matt, what are the takeaways from these two areas of disconnect that you highlighted a moment ago?
Well, I think they both have to do with setting realistic expectations. I mean, you don't want to create a retirement plan that's based on an absolute best case scenario. For example, a plan based on having to work until you're age 70 or having to be able to generate some work-related income in retirement. The ideal would be to build a plan where those things will be helpful if they work out, but they're not absolutely necessary.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, Matt, we've just scratched the surface on this. I know we're going to continue to unpack this. In fact, folks, after this break, we'll talk about Social Security. What do retirees need to know? Also, how can you use a calculator to estimate how much you need? And what about debt in retirement? We'll even talk about a biblical perspective on retirement. Much more to come with Matt Bell today. He's managing editor at Sound Mind Investing and underwriter of this program. And by the way, there's a helpful article at It's titled Helpful Lessons from Today's Retirees. You'll find it right there on the homepage at soundmindinvesting.org. Back with much more right after this. Stick around.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. The Holy Spirit has been described by some as the forgotten member of the Trinity. So what is it that the Spirit does? The Bible has much to say, but right now let's look at Ezekiel 36. The Lord says to His people, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." So what does the Spirit do? The Spirit gives us life. He brings people dead in their sins to life, and He gives them strength to follow after Jesus. Grow more in your walk with Jesus with Anchor Devotional. Try it out today at getanchor.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers Real Truth for Today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's cards that give to missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Great to have you back with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. With me today, my friend Matt Bell. He's managing editor at Sound Mind Investing and underwriter of this program. By the way, we're talking about an article you'll find at soundmindinvesting.org. It's called Helpful Lessons from Today's Retirees. Now, before the break, Matt was sharing with us some of the data that came out from the Employee Benefit Research Institute's Retirement Confidence Survey, and Matt was sharing with us a bit of the disconnect between worker optimism and their actual preparedness. Matt, anything else that stood out to you from this study we need to know about?
Sure. One other thing that stood out to me is the benefit of running the numbers on retirement. That means using a retirement calculator to estimate how much money you'll need in retirement and how much that means you should be investing right now in order to give yourself the best chance of achieving that goal. Surprisingly, from the survey, only half of today's workers have taken that step. But those who have run the numbers, it really shows the benefits. They tend to begin saving more. And that just makes sense. I mean, the more real we can make retirement, the more we can see what we need to do in order to retire successfully, the more likely we are to take those steps that we need to take.
There's no doubt about that. Now, Social Security is, of course, a big concern for retirees. So what should future retirees know about this area?
Well, for starters, it would be helpful to find out how much you're likely to receive in benefits. The Social Security income that people will receive, the benefits they'll receive, that'll be an important source of income in retirement for most of today's workers. However, back to the survey, fewer than half know what their benefits will amount to at their planned retirement age. And less than 60%, according to the survey, have thought about how the age at which they claim benefits will impact the amount they receive. And now all this information is readily available at the Social Security Administration's website, which is ssa.gov, or by looking at your Social Security statements.
Yeah, that's helpful, Matt. Of course, one of the biggest hindrances to a comfortable retirement is debt. So let's talk about that area and perhaps anything the survey revealed.
Sure. For some reason, this year's survey apparently didn't even ask about debt. However, last year's survey did, and during that survey, nearly two-thirds of workers acknowledged that debt is a problem for them, and that issue is not likely to have disappeared between that survey and this survey, so we can assume it's still present for a lot of people. Now, while last year's survey didn't break down debt into specific types, other surveys I've seen point to an increase in the number of people bringing a mortgage into their later years and how that can really hinder their financial freedom. So, Rob, as we've recommended before, it's wise to plan to retire your mortgage by the time you retire. And if rates ever go down again and you decide to refinance, be careful not to reset the 30-year payoff clock to a date that's past your intended retirement age.
That's great advice, and that may lead some retirees to extend their years of work so they can sync up that retirement date with their payoff, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the mortgage is typically people's biggest expense, and so, wow, if you can get that taken care of by the time you retire, that just gives so much more freedom and flexibility in your retired years.
Yeah, that also takes us back to what you talked about a moment ago, and that is Social Security. We tend to recommend that folks who don't need the Social Security money right now, especially if they're continuing to work, that they delay taking Social Security to get those guaranteed increases. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And one other benefit of doing that is that, you know, if a man is perhaps earning more in his lifetime than his wife is, and he's got the bigger Social Security benefit, typically men pass away earlier than women do. And so she would be able to move into his benefit. And so it benefits her if he delays his benefits as long as possible so that she'll be able to make use of that larger benefit.
That's great advice. Let's stay with that, though, for a moment. You mentioned that we men will, just based on the averages, pass away before our wives. What's important for this season of life to think about, Matt, so that a spouse, perhaps a wife who was not as involved in the finances, is prepared to take over that responsibility?
Sure. And that's typically the case. I mean, it's not the case in every household, but it often is the case that the man is making some of the financial decisions, maybe has those relationships with a financial advisor, with a lawyer, with an accountant. So one really, really beneficial, really helpful step would be to make sure while you're both alive that you both have a relationship, that your wife has a face-to-face relationship with these various financial professionals so that things can continue on after you pass away.
Yeah, that's really helpful. And Matt, of course, just doing the blocking and tackling of making sure that for whatever spouse is not as involved, whether it's the man or the woman, that there's a comprehensive listing of all the professionals, all the financial accounts, login information. I mean, that can be a missed step very often, isn't that right?
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, things like beneficiary designations and having a will in place or a trust, if that's appropriate for you, all of these things that we feel like are back burner sorts of things, we'll get to them someday, one day. But I'll tell you, it truly is, as boring as some of these documents can be, it's really an act of love to have all these things in place so that things are just easier for those you leave behind.
Yeah. Matt, let's finish today with a biblical worldview of retirement. As believers, we don't subscribe to the same approach to retirement that the world does, that there's some sort of expiration date on our calling, that at 65 we just automatically move to a life of leisure. That's not the biblical model. So what then is a biblical approach to retirement?
Yeah, it's an interesting tension that I think Christians, that we as Christians live with. So the culture kind of defines retirement, paints it in a certain picture that really we don't find any evidence for that picture in Scripture. So our whole lives are intended to be, are designed to be lives of service and contribution. However, the fact is most of us will one day retire from a paid job, whether for health issues, the health issues of a loved one, a change at work, or God redirecting our efforts toward more volunteer work. For one reason or another, most of us, the statistics tell us, will in fact one day retire from paid work. So it's important spiritually, it's important vocationally, it's important emotionally to plan to continue to work as long as we possibly can, but it's important financially to plan to retire perhaps earlier than we thought we might.
Yeah. I love what Ron Blue says. He says we should think about retiring to something and not from something, and really talking not only to our spouse, but to the Lord about what that season of life should look like. Matt, do you think it's possible that we could even over accumulate and miss out on an opportunity to do some more significant giving during our working years?
I do think so. I think too often we succumb to fear. You know, we read headlines about how people are just not well prepared for their later years. And so we just assume that we need to be accumulating more and more and more. And so there too, it's kind of a tension we live with. We want to be wise. We want to provide for our family's needs long term. So we want to make sure that we're thinking and being very intentional about setting aside enough resources to provide for our families long term. But we don't want to live in fear, especially if that makes us oversave or underinvest in God's kingdom work while we're still alive. Because I think in part, we miss out on the joy that way. You know, what a joy it is that while we're still living, we can see and we can participate in the contribution to God's kingdom work.
Such important lessons to learn about retirement. Matt, thanks for stopping by and sharing this with us today.
My pleasure, Rob.
All right. That's Matt Bell, managing editor at Sound Mind Investing. You can read a lot more in this helpful article. It's titled Helpful Lessons from Today's Retirees. You'll find it right there on the homepage at soundmindinvesting.org. Again, soundmindinvesting.org. Just look for Helpful Lessons from Today's Retirees. All right. Your calls are next, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. And if you prefer not to call, keep in mind, you can always send us an email at askrob@faithfi.com. That's askrob@faith.com. We'll be right back. Stick around.
Hey, man, what are you doing?
I'm just lying here relaxing in a stream. I call it streaming.
Okay, you know that word already has another meaning, right?
AFA Streaming offers free and subscription video content. Titles like By Design, The God Who Speaks, and Asbury Revival, Desperate for More. You'll also find video versions of AFR programs. Visit AFA.net and click on Streaming.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good. To explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values, more information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Hey, here's a question for you. Are you squeezing the most out of each kingdom advancing opportunity? In The Stand, Rick Robertson tells the story about a friend who took advantage of every chance to honor God by serving others. Do you know someone like that and want to be more like them? Rick's article, A Life That Excels, shows God's instruction on how we please Him and excel when we serve Him and others faithfully. Stop by afa.net/thestand and read A Life That Excels today.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Abraham Hamilton III, host of The Hamilton Corner.
American Family Association is on the front lines in the culture war in America. We've been here for more than 40 years, fighting for the biblical principles our nation was founded upon. And by God's grace, we are making a difference.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting American Family Association. Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
I'm glad you're with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Always fun to have Matt Bell with us today. I hope that was helpful for you as you think about the next season of your life, recognizing that retirement, at least the way the world defines it, the culture, is not necessarily how we would see it line up with a biblical worldview, that our calling doesn't have an expiration, that we're to work and be productive throughout the whole of our lives in service to the Lord, bringing Him glory, playing to an audience of one. And yet, we need to save for that season where we may not be able to work for pay. And so, I think setting something aside and being ready to lean into what God has for us in that next chapter of life is perfectly appropriate, but we need to do it with a lot of prayer and intentionality. It's not about the mindless accumulation of wealth. It's about knowing what is enough, both for lifestyle and accumulation, and preparing for a season where we can take all of the wisdom and experience, gifts and talents God has given us and use those in perhaps a new way, finding a balance between rest and leisure and work and productivity and, of course, service to the Lord alongside all of it. So hopefully we're an encouragement to you in that, but I know today Matt's insights are very practical and hopefully can give you some needed information toward you planning for that season of life. All right, let's turn the corner and take your questions on anything financial. We're ready for you. We've got lines open. Our team is standing by. You can call right now at 800-525-7000. Again, that number, 800-525-7000. We've got lines open and we can talk about your lifestyle, debt repayment, perhaps it's giving more wisely or navigating the market. A lot of folks wanting to know, where does gold fit into my portfolio right now? And should I delay Social Security? And how do I think about paying off some credit card debt? We're seeing record levels of credit card debt. A lot of folks concerned about how to get out from under that. What does that look like in the midst of high inflation? Should I get a loan consolidation? Should I use debt settlement? What is debt management? How do I distinguish between them? Whatever's on your mind today, give us a call right now. 800-525-7000, and we'll begin taking those calls in just a bit. In the news today, 401k Roth accounts. So remember, with a 401k, there's both the traditional and the Roth variety. Roth 401k employer matches may trigger a tax bill for you. Here's what you need to know. If your company's offering you a Roth 401k match, you should contribute enough to trigger that free money and boost your retirement savings. But take note, this financial move could lead to a tax bill, and you need to know about it. Now, as an aside, I love the idea of a Roth 401k. So after-tax dollars going in that grow tax-free with a much higher contribution limit that you would have in a Roth IRA. So all that's a good thing. But Secure Act 2.0 that was passed December of 2022 allowed employers to match Roth 401k contributions directly into the Roth account for the first time. Before that new law, employers had to establish a second traditional 401k specifically for their contributions, the matching portion to those retirement funds. Now, there's a wrinkle in the new rules, though. Remember that your Roth 401k contributions are taxed, allowing you, the employee, to withdraw that money during your retirement years without paying the taxes. So this is after-tax dollars going in. But it's different for your employer. You see, their contributions to your Roth 401k through matches are pre-tax, just like they would be if your company matched a traditional 401k. That means you're on the hook to pay the taxes on your company's Roth contributions the year they're made, the matching portion. So just don't let that catch you by surprise. Again, I love the idea of you putting into a Roth 401k and having that tax-free growth. And I love the idea of you taking full advantage of that match. That's free money. Don't miss it. Just don't be surprised about that tax bill that comes on your employer's portion. Make sense? All right. Again, the number to call today, 800-525-7000. We will begin to start taking your calls in the next segment. So now's the time to get in the queue. Once again, 800-525-7000. A couple of emails here in this segment before we head to our next break. This from Jenny. She writes, I'm a single mom with a low income, and I'm working toward paying off credit card debt. I give regularly, but it's nowhere near a tithe. How can I move toward giving 10%? Well, Jenny, let me say, I think it's wonderful that you want to give back to God's kingdom. I will say God is not an accountant. He doesn't need your money. It's, I believe, more important that you try to become a percentage or a systematic giver and do it cheerfully, not out of legalism. Like everyone else, you need to live on a budget, ideally one that gives you a little margin at the end of the month. And if you can't live on less than you make, you'll never get ahead. If you have more than $4,000 in credit card debt, I would contact our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. They can help you pay it off 80% faster on debt management by two things. Number one is lowering that interest rate or interest rates on those cards, often by a half or more. And then second, establishing a level monthly payment that'll fit into your budget. And by the way, they'll help you put a new budget together. The combination of those two, and you're free to prepay extra at any point, are going to get that paid off 80% faster. Now, with regard to the tithe, I really appreciate your desire to honor the Lord. And I would just say, let's do both. Let's continue to be a systematic giver. Let's honor the Lord cheerfully and even sacrificially, with an eye toward continuing to move that up over time. And perhaps you continue exercising that muscle now while you're paying off that credit card debt. As soon as it's gone, you're maybe taking a jump up with your giving. And I wouldn't stop at a tenth, a tithe. I'd keep going. You know, remember, those of us who have seen the cross, I think, have the opportunity, like Jesus encouraged us to raise the bar in every area of our lives, and that includes our finances. Remember, he celebrated the widow's gift in the temple when she gave out of her poverty her last two copper coins. So I think New Testament giving is absolutely systematic and proportionate, and that's where I love the principle of the tithe. But I think it's also sacrificial. Remember, to whom much is given, much is required. It's a free gift given freely and certainly given cheerfully. I think that's the gift that honors the Lord when we give it with the right heart posture as an act of worship. I hope that's helpful. Thanks for writing to us. Send your emails, askrob@faithfi.com. All right, a quick break and then into your phone calls today. Call right now, lines open, 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance. We'll be right back. 19. That's how many pairs of shoes the average American has in their closet. 1. That's how many pairs of shoes it takes to share health, education, opportunity, and the love of Christ to a child in need in the world. You can play a part in changing the life of a child today through Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls. Visit GiveShoesToday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child in need. That's GiveShoesToday.org.
Fostering and adoption is not a band-aid for infertility.
Nope,
like it is a calling, and God can change the desire of your heart and make that so rewarding. It's the most beautiful, selfless thing. It's pure religion, but it's not a fix to I desire biological child. God has to deal with that in your heart separately.
Hannah's Heart, encouraging couples through infertility and miscarriage.
Saturdays, 4 a.m. Central on AFR or on the AFR app.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
As a faithful listener of the Faith and Finance program, you know that there is life-changing financial wisdom in God's Word to meet all your needs. More than anything, FaithFi is here to help you and millions of others see God as your ultimate treasure. As a nonprofit, we're grateful for our partners that help expand our outreach every month with their generosity. Has God provided financial answers for you through this ministry? Please consider becoming a monthly partner by visiting faithfi.com and clicking Give.
Is God calling you to ministry? It's time to multiply your capacity for ministry with an affordable degree. The Bachelor of Arts in Christian Ministry at Wesley Biblical Seminary is the degree for you. When God called you to ministry, He called you to preparation. This degree is the education that you need to put all the pieces together for an amazing life of ministry. You will graduate with a confidence for ministry that is backed up by your competence in the scriptures, theology, and ministry. Come learn with a trusted seminary that will help you become a faithful leader. Learn more at wbs.edu.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Well, thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. It's time to take your calls and questions today on anything financial, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Our team is standing by. Let's go to Ohio. Hi, Rita. Thanks for calling today. Go right ahead.
Hello, thank you, and God bless you for doing this. So many people, I needed to hear it. But my question is, I have two lines of credit, $20,000 each. One line of credit has an interest rate of 6.4, the other 14%. The lower one I've had for years, so that's why that's so much lower. I have about $28,000 in debt. What I was thinking in credit card debt, different cards, and each of them are in the 20s, the interest rate. So I'm trying to make sure I'm making the right choice to use these two line of credits. I didn't want to max either one out. So I was thinking of just using $17,000 out of the one for 6% and the remainder out of the other, pay those off, and then I have two bills. Is that smart to do when I haven't touched these lines of credit?
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. I'm not a fan of this, Rita. Let me ask the one question. You said you've had that one for 6% for a long time. Do you know how long you have that available to you? Because often that sunsets and closes, and then you just automatically convert to paying it back at that point.
No. The one that's $20,000, that line of credit, both of them are balance zero.
Yeah.
And I've just had it for forever. And I've used it when I did a home improvement in the house or a little here and there. I will use it for like $100 just to make sure it has activity on it. But I really don't use it.
Yeah. Okay.
But
go ahead.
My other cards I kind of used because I was getting points for air travel and stuff like that. Like one card is kind of, I'm using the miles to pay for that right now.
Sure.
I'm able to pay the bills, but I want to do
be wise about it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The main thing I was pointing out there is most home equity lines of credit have what's called a draw period, which is the time when you can access your funds from the open line of credit. It's typically 10 years. It can be as short as 5 and as much as 20. And so normally that draw period will come to an end and you can no longer access additional funds. And then it just converts to a predetermined payback period at that point, but you can't continue to access it. But let's get to your original question. No, I'm not a fan of this. I realize it makes sense on paper because you're looking at the 6.4 and the 14 and you're comparing that to this probably sky high interest rate on your credit cards and thinking, why wouldn't I just move that over? But it's going to do a couple of things. Number one is that unsecured debt, which is what the credit card is, meaning if you had a major life event and I know you're able to pay the minimums or maybe even more than the minimums now, but let's say something happened and you were not able to make that payment. With a credit card, you know, there's limited recourse there. I mean, they could seek a judgment against you in a court. Obviously, it'll go into collections, but that's about it. Now, biblically, we want to honor our debts, but I'm talking about if there was kind of a catastrophic event that just prevented you from paying for a season, you know, that's about the worst that can happen. The problem is, as soon as you move that over to the line of credit, the worst thing that can happen is you lose your home. And so I just don't like taking unsecured debt and securing it, especially to your house. That's number one. Number two is often these payback periods, because we get a lower interest rate as soon as you move it to the line of credit, you know, you're paying it back over a longer period of time. Or you may even just be paying interest only, and so you don't actually reduce the debt. And so it hangs around for longer, and what you end up is paying as much or more interest, even though it's at a lower interest rate, because you just no longer have the incentive to get it paid off. The third thing that happens, and I'm not saying this necessarily would happen with you, I've just seen it too many times not to bring it up, Rita, and that is that as soon as we do that, it kind of takes the pressure off, and we're like taking a deep breath, like, okay, I'm no longer at 22%, I'm at 6. And so we just don't make the lifestyle changes that resulted in the credit card debt in the first place. And so we continue to spend beyond our means. And then I get a call 6 months later that, you know, says, hey, guess what? Now I've got $28,000 on two lines of credit. And guess what? The credit cards are back up to $10,000. And I've just seen that too many times. So given all of that, where would I go from here? Well, I wouldn't put it on the line of credit. What I would do is call my friends at Christian Credit Counselors. You'll find them on the web at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. You'll go into a debt management program. What does that mean? Well, it just means that each of your creditors, your credit card companies, have a credit counseling rate that's probably half or more lower in terms of the interest rate. If you're at 22, it might be at 10. And they're going to have a scheduled monthly payment that the credit card companies will tell them, very consistent to your current minimum payment. But the difference is with that reduced interest rate and a level monthly payment, meaning it doesn't decline as the balances decline. And so over time, you're sending a higher and higher percentage of the debt, you know, even if you don't add anything extra to it. And the combination of those two things will help you pay it off 80% faster. But the big things is, you know, the bigger thing is that you'll leave that right there with the existing creditors, so it remains unsecured debt. And secondly, my experience is that when you go that route and do the hard work and build it into the budget and stick with it over time, that you're reinforcing the right disciplines that hopefully will allow you, once you get out of debt, to stay out of credit card debt forever. But give me your thoughts on all that, Rita.
I think that it makes sense what you're saying. The one thing is that these lines of credit are not associated with my home. That is okay. The one thing. Okay.
What
not,
are they associated with? Line? What is it? Just a? I mean, normally you wouldn't have. Go ahead.
My credit union. I took out a line of credit. Did some stuff around the house, and they gave me a $20,000 limit. And then when I was thinking of doing this, that was some years ago, but I just reached out to them, like, you know, to see how much it would be if I could get that raised. And they said, well, no, we would have to do a separate line for you because we can't guarantee that interest rate any longer.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to lose that.
Yeah. Well, there are unsecured credit lines, and you may have one. I would confirm that just to be sure what you were thinking is in fact correct. But I would still hold true to what I had said earlier, and that is that my experience is that that just doesn't reinforce the right behaviors. But if it's truly unsecured and you can get a lower interest rate, I mean, I think you could do better than 14 on credit counseling. And so what you may want to do is look at moving to the 6.4. And as long as you're willing to stay disciplined and continue to pay on it and pay on it in such a way that it's going to get it paid off as quickly as possible, and that doesn't cause you to kind of back off in your sense of urgency to get this paid off once and for all. But given all of that, I'd still prefer you to go the debt management route with ChristianCreditCounselors.org. But if it's truly unsecured, at least for the portion on the 6.4, I could get on board with that.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Very
thank
good.
Thank you so much. Again, health and prosperity to you in Jesus' name.
Well, thank you.
You guys are great.
Well, I appreciate it, Rita. May the Lord bless you. We appreciate your call today. Greg in Arkansas, stay right there. We're going to get to your question on Social Security survivors benefits right after the break here. Appreciate your call in Arkansas. Folks, we have room for a few more questions before we round out the broadcast today. The number to call, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Give us a call right now. A quick break and back with much more right after this. Stay with us.
To all of our friends on American Family Radio, this is Michael Brown, thrilled to announce to you that we have a brand new 30-minute daily equipping broadcast that will light a fresh fire in your life and will infuse you with faith and truth and courage to help you stand strong in the Lord. It's coming your way, 12:30 every single night, 5 days a week. Don't miss a single broadcast on the Line of Fire. I believe your life will be changed.
We don't have to be like the 10 that said it can't be done, it's too big, the giants are too big. We need to be like Joshua and Caleb and say, you know what, there are giants. This is a massive problem. When you have a nation that is ignorant of the principles that produce a free society, start where you can. It's the only way I know. It's a little bit at a time.
Join Walker Wildman and Rick Green as they tackle today's issues from a biblical and a constitutional perspective. At the Core, 1 p.m. Central weekdays on AFR.
When you hear the phrase, rich toward God, what comes to mind? Surely it doesn't mean making God rich. Is it about us becoming rich so we can give? Or maybe it's an invitation to something much bigger. In the new Rich Toward God study, FaithFi has created a way for you to explore and reflect on a well-known biblical parable about a very rich man with a very big problem. Request a copy of the Rich Toward God study today with your gift of $25 or more by going to faithfi.com/give.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly 3 decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners, LTD, and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services, LLC.
Thanks for joining us today here on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. You heard during that break about the Rich Toward God study. It's available at faithfi.com. We're getting tons of feedback from folks that are buying it, using it in their small groups, and loving it. It's chock full of scripture. It really explores these important themes of the uncertainty of tomorrow and what is true abundance and what does it look like to live rich toward God based on this profound parable. Well, everything's profound from God's word, but this really amazing parable from God's word found in Luke 12, the parable of the rich fool. If you'd like to check it out, maybe order it for your small group today, just go to faithfi.com and click shop at the top of the page. All right, back to the phones. To Arkansas we go. Hi, Greg. How can I help, sir?
Good morning, Rob. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Calling for my father-in-law, not for myself, but kind of revisiting your conversation you had earlier about Social Security. And my apologies, I got into the conversation a little bit late. So my question is, I did hear as far as, as far as the benefits or the beneficiary, his wife passed away about a year ago. He's about 87 years old. He is in a assisted living facility now. I know that kind of changes the landscape of all this, but the way you were explaining it, that they should receive full benefit, or the you know, what she had was receiving from Social Security as well. Now, if they're receiving less than $1,600, for simple numbers, say he was receiving $2,000 and he was on a monthly basis and hers was $1,000, he would not be receiving that full $1,000. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah. So he has the choice to either receive his own benefits based on his own work record or switch to the survivor's benefits if they're higher, but he can only take one of the two, and he would only have access to hers if they were married for at least, 9 months before, or if they were married for long enough, and if, again, if hers is higher. But if his own work record benefit was higher, then he would obviously stay with his.
Okay, that's, I just want clarification on that. And yep, that's the way it is. So that's pretty well answers my question.
Absolutely. You know, obviously you're taking a reduction there, which can be challenging, and you've got to plan for that because, you know, at the very least, you know, when they were married and she was living, they were getting both benefits. She was getting hers, he was getting his, and obviously that drops down. Now, where that can be helpful is if the deceased spouse's benefit was higher and you're switching over, at least that makes up a little bit of that ground. But unfortunately, in his case, he's just going to lose her portion. So appreciate your call, though, Greg. Hopefully that's helpful to you, sir. And call anytime. Let's go to Oklahoma. Hi, Sheila. How can I help you?
Yes. I was listening to your 401k Roth. And my question, if you work for a school and you just want to put it strictly into Roth, has the government mandated that they have to offer just a Roth, or is it just optional even for a school? So where they wouldn't have to offer it, they would just offer what they normally do.
Yeah, they do not have to offer it. So that's something that some employers and plans are making that Roth option available. But many of them have not made that available. And certainly schools are a little bit different because often they will provide a pension, which is a completely different retirement plan structure than the 401k. But no one is required to offer the 401k in the Roth version. It's a newer option and it is optional, but we're seeing an increasing number of employers that are doing it. And I think that's a great thing because it's in my view, especially for younger workers, a much better option.
Right, I agree. I'm older and I would want to just put it strictly into a Roth, but they haven't opted to do that yet. So where you can put it in a Roth or a 401 Roth. And so,
yeah, now you could put it into the Roth IRA so long as you have earned income. Are you continuing to work, Sheila?
I am, yeah.
Okay, yeah. And so if you have earned income, regardless of what your employer is doing, you have the ability to put in, because you're over the age of 50, $8,000 into a Roth for 2024.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. You've answered my question. And I appreciate
very good.
It.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling today. We have room for perhaps one more question today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let me take just a moment, though, and mention here as we head toward the end of our fiscal year at FaithFi, which is June the 30th. This is a really important time for us to hear from you as we finish out the year strong with our listener support. As a listener-supported ministry, we rely on your gifts. And these gifts allow us to continue to serve God's people. And it's amazing when we hear your stories and your testimonies. You write them and send them in to us. We receive them electronically. You send us emails. We get to hear some of them on the air every day. And we just rejoice at what God is doing. And your gifts allow us to continue to do that work. In fact, let's listen to one of these stories of life change from our good friend Charles. Take a listen.
I called asking for advice about whether or not I should use one of those tax services that claim they help you with the IRS if you owe back taxes. And
yes.
For multiple years, I mean, I've always been a faithful tither and giver. In my addiction, I never pay income taxes. So I got clean and learned the principle of giving and tithing and first fruit and did that, but was just afraid to deal with the IRS, and it went on and on and on for years. So I was reading the word one day, and that scripture where Jesus had rendered to Caesar what Caesar's and God's to God's. Well, I had been doing God's part, but not Caesar's. And it really convicted me. And so I decided, I'll do something about it. And I called your program, and you put me in touch with a wonderful brother in the Lord, Kevin Cross, who's a Christian certified public accountant.
Yes.
And I'd like to say that I actually paid my taxes last week. And I can't tell you, I am probably the first time I paid money where I was actually enjoyed doing it of a bill that I owed. I felt so blessed to be able to do it, and it was because of this ministry and your advice that I'm going to get back on track with the IRS and finish out the rest of my days in obedience to the word.
I love that. He's so excited to pay his taxes because he's in compliance, and he had a sense from the Lord, you know what, this is my obligation. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. And I was so thrilled that we were able to connect him with somebody that could actually help him get back on track with his tax liability. And we were able to cover all the costs for that. And boy, Charles, so grateful for you and for so many of you who support this ministry to allow us to bring this kind of assistance to God's people. If you've been encouraged by the ministry and you'd like to make a gift, now is a really important time with a one-time or a monthly gift. Just head to faithfi.com and click give. That's faithfi.com and click give, and we'll say thanks in advance. All right, let's head to Texas today as we round out the program here. Teresa, thanks for calling. How can I help you?
Hi. I have a Social Security question.
Okay.
I'm only 63, but I applied for disability. I'm about to have my fourth back surgery. So they asked me, do I want to go ahead and receive Social Security while I'm waiting for disability to be approved? Mm-hmm. So I am receiving that, $1,700 a month. Mm-hmm. Now, there is a cap on how much additional income I'm trying to continue to work to supplement that, but I have a cap of $1,400. Well, that's still not enough to live on, so I'm living in my car right now. That's crazy, but once I receive my disability and that's approved, will there still be a cap on how much additional supplemental income I can earn?
Yeah. So it really comes down to the substantial gainful activity, your SGA level, because of your medical condition. And that's going to really relate to whether or not you qualify for those disability benefits in the first place. But there will be a similar cap on the earnings. Now, with the Social Security cap based on your actual work record, that's going to be where they reduce your benefits by a dollar for every $2 you go over the limit. So that limit for 2024 for those under full retirement age, so whatever your full retirement age is, if you're taking it before that, you can only earn up to $1,860 a month or $22,320 a year. And if you go over that, that's when they're going to take a dollar for every $2. Now, that's a temporary reduction in the sense that, you know, you will eventually get that back when you go to full retirement age. But in terms of, you know, the earnings limit for the Social Security disability, you're going to need to check with them because, you know, it's going to affect whether or not you even can apply and be granted it in the first place. And that limit is, well, I know for 2023, it was $1,470 per month. And that's different than what you're getting on the full retirement age. So this gets pretty complicated, I realize, but that limit should go up now that you're on your full work record benefits. And so you should be able to make a little bit more before you receive that reduction, because the cap on disability is $1,470, whereas the cap on earnings for normal benefits is $1,860. So I know I'm throwing a lot of information at you here, but the bottom line is, yes, both have caps. The one based on your actual work benefits is higher at $1,860. The one for disability is that lower number at $1,470. So those are the two caps. I think beyond that, you may want to schedule a meeting with the Social Security Administration and just kind of sit down and talk through all of this just so you understand what you can count on. And listen, Teresa, we're going to ask our faith and finance community to be praying for you. I realize this is a challenging season, and we'll just ask the Lord to provide for you here as well as you kind of work through these medical issues as well. I know you got a lot on you, but we appreciate your call today. And if we can help further along the way, don't hesitate to reach out. May the Lord bless you. Folks, that's going to do it for us today. We covered a lot of ground. Thank you for calling and for inviting us into your stories. And we always love for the opportunity to be alongside you. Thanks to my team today, Taylor, Devin, and Robert. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.